Oh, my goodness. Can we roll that again? I want to come back next hour if you want to see it again. Why is that hilarious and ridiculous all at the same time? You know, there's something in us, we know deep down that we're made for community. We're made for meaningful community, real connection. But none of us wants to be the person on the couch crying in somebody's house. Right? And so, yeah, I love it. Good morning. I'm Randy. I am a lead pastor here at Adventure Church, and we're just glad you're here with us. We had a blast at Duval Days yesterday, and it was just a hoot to see these guys flicking these poker chips, and I'm looking forward to losing my $5 in a couple of weeks, and along with most of the rest of you. I hear that there's some guys coming that are in the poker, Duval poker, like, club that go to Vegas and all these different places, and they play some serious poker, and so we've limited the exposure here. It's $150, that's it, you know, it can be lost, and so welcome. If you are new today, this is a fantastic Sunday for you to be here, because we're talking about the vision of Adventure Community Church and where we are going this year. Adventure's year runs September to September, and so we're gearing up to kick off for the coming year, and I'm extremely excited about where we're going, and today I want to share with you where that is. But first I want to share with you just a little bit about our core values at Adventure Community Church. We have four core values that our church functions around. And they are walking with God. Number one, you were created for intimate connection with God in a way that you can have a two-way conversation. You can learn to hear His voice and have direction from Him. And that is a key thing, and we all need to learn to do that. And Jesus said He came that we might have life and have it to the full. And if you want to have life to the full, you have to learn to walk with God. Jesus also said He came to heal the brokenhearted. And so healing is one of our core values. There are places in our hearts that have been shattered, broken, wounded over the course of our lives, and we need healing. And so if you want to have that life to the full that Jesus is talking about, you need to walk in a journey of healing. So it's one of our core values. Warfare. Scripture says you have an enemy, that everything that's gone wrong in your life isn't just a matter of your own being an idiot or screwing up or people hurting you or God hurting you or holding out on you, but you have an enemy that roams around like a roaring lion, Scripture says. And Scripture tells us how to fight back and how to take ground from the enemy. But if you don't know how to do that, you can't live life to the full. So if you don't have life to the full that Jesus is talking about, you need to come alive and walk in with God in healing and warfare and community. You were made for meaningful relationship, meaningful connections. One of our core values at Adventure Church. And if you ignore any one of these in your life, if you don't learn, get training in one of these areas, you will not experience life to the full as you were meant to experience it. And so at Adventure, this coming year, we believe that God is telling us to focus on a year of focusing on community. And so the direction that we're going to be going come September is spending a year focusing on community, because you were made in the image of a group. Because you bear the image of God, and God is a group, you have a longing for what the Trinity has always enjoyed. The Trinity, God, three in one, has always enjoyed deep, intimate, meaningful community. Mission together, connection, love, relationship. You were made in that image. That's why you've always longed for, haven't you? A friend. A couple of people who got your back, who care about you, who know your story, who know your heart, know what makes you come alive. Haven't you wanted that? In fact, it's such a deep, powerful desire, we feel pain when the desire is even talked about. Or we go, I don't want that. I want the shallow small group. And that's usually a result of pain that we've experienced, wanting connection, relationship. I had a friend a few years back said to me, I'm not into that. I don't want to do that. And I said, tell me your story about that. And he said, I had two really, really close friends in college. And after college, we all went our separate ways. It hurt so much, I decided I'd never go back there. Can you relate to that at all? Most of us can. And so we shut that door. But I'm stepping on buttons and things. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's quite amazing, though, when you find out how big a deal the Bible makes about community and you living in it. You living in connection and community. So we're going to take a look at a couple of passages here and just talk through what does Scripture say about it. This is Ephesians chapter 4. And just think through this with me, okay? Let's look at this together. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, Paul's saying, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So you have a calling on your life from God, and you can live a life worthy of that calling or not worthy of that calling, right? So be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. See those attributes? Be completely humble. Be gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. What do those attributes have in common? What do they relate to? Not Jesus. Relationships. It doesn't say be courageous. It doesn't say be holy. It doesn't say be... It says all of these are relational. Humble, that has to do with your relationship with each other. Gentle has to do with your relationship with others. Patience, don't need to be patient outside of relationship with others, right? Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is, and then he goes into it, one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, unity, oneness, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So just some observations that I've made from this part of the passage we're looking at is, one, you have a calling, and your calling's meant to be lived out in the context of community. Two, living a life worthy of your calling is defined in terms of relating to others in this passage. You can't live a life worthy of your calling outside of relationship with others, because that's the context of the passage. The attributes you need to live that worthy life make up relational maturity. Someone's relationally mature when they are gentle, when they are patient, when they're humble. They're relationally mature people. And because God is one, we are meant to be one. So the passage goes on, and Paul says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then he talks about that whole Christ apportioning. This is why it says when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to earth. Verse 10, he who descended, Jesus is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. God, and the point here is God has given each of us grace in the form of unique gifts. And then he's going to talk about how those gifts play out. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. For what? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. So, you see that? God gave us this leadership structure so that his body... you, so that we could serve each other, so that his body, you, could be built up and grow. For what? Until we reach unity in faith and in the knowing of the Son of God. That's what that phrase in Greek means, in the knowing of the Son of God, and in our faith, we're serving one another so that we can reach unity in the faith and knowing of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How would you like to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? I mean, I don't know exactly what that would look like, but I want it. That sounds awesome. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, some observations from the passage. God has set up leadership structure in the body of Christ. Their mission, that those leaders, is to get you ready to serve the body, to serve each other. Why? So we can reach unity in faith and knowing Jesus. Why? So we will achieve maturity and experience the fullness of Christ. Can you experience the fullness of Christ, according to this, outside of community? Outside of the body, just operating your own? Hey, we just, you know, I don't need to go to church. I can walk with God in my home with my family. Can you? Yeah, you can. Can you achieve fullness? No, I don't believe so. Not according to this. It's a big deal. How big a deal is unity and community? Listen to what Jesus says here. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. There is a presence of God that somehow manifests in the context of community when believers are together that doesn't manifest in other ways when you're alone. You can experience God in His fullness in community more than on your own. There is simply a fullness that you find Him in community. The path to fullness and experiencing God fully leads through community. And there's lots of reasons for this that I'm not going to go into today, that we're going to be going into in August and September. There's lots of reasons why. I'll just leave it at this. Can you see, so those of you who are married, did you find out after you got married that you are more selfish than you realized? How many of you are like, I got married and I found out I was selfish? I mean, the classic thing for Debbie and I is ice cream. I go, she doesn't like to scoop ice cream, so I'm very happy to scoop ice cream for both of us. Yeah, and some of you already know where I'm going with this. I'm walking up the stairs with my bowl and her bowl, you know, and I'm feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know. Why is it that I overscooped mine and, you know, anybody else do that? Come on, guys. I got married and I found out I was selfish, and it's in the context of that relationship that God goes, you can experience more fullness of what being what I'm like. You can experience more of the life you were meant to live. Honestly, my good heart doesn't want to be selfish. The good heart God's put in me, the Holy Spirit in me, this new heart He's given me according to Ezekiel 36:26, I don't want to be that way. I'm most filled with joy when I'm operating in a selflessness. But God has to put His finger on it in the context of the community of marriage. Can you see how, just in that little window, how that would work in a church? And people go, and in a community group, people go, well, I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of people there who are a bunch of idiots, right? They've got all these problems. Yes. It requires something of us to be in community with people with problems, doesn't it? It requires you growing in holiness. Do you see how it will achieve for you a greater and greater degree of fullness of Christ in you? You'll have to rely on God if you're married to make it. You'll have to rely on God to have unity in the church or in a community group to make it. Can't operate in the flesh. You got to pray. Does it make sense? Simple. But we go, oh, you know, 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4 in our minds, and so it's hard to see. Okay. If you want to know what really matters to someone, you can almost never rely on what they're saying to you. Because they're going to go all the social pressures and all that stuff. If I'm talking to somebody and I want to know what they really care about, you know, they might be reacting to their perceptions of my value system and all this different stuff. And so you can really never know what somebody really cares about unless you listen to what they pray for in private, which you can't do. But if you want to really know what somebody cares about, you listen to what they pray for. And when you want to know what Jesus cares about, you look at what he prayed for. And in John 17, he prayed this. He was praying, he said, I'll remain in the world no longer, but they, my disciples, they're still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be what? One. How? As we are one. How one are God and Jesus? Pretty one. Can you be that one with each other? Oh, okay, that's too... No way. Right? My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also... Okay, who's he talking about here? Those who will believe in me through their message. Who's that? You. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete what? Unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. A couple observations from this. Jesus' prayer and deep desire is that you and I would live in Trinitarian fellowship with each other. Not surface small group fellowship, but Trinitarian fellowship. And how we relate with each other is the validation to the world that Jesus is from God. Community, really having connections, loving each other, is like a giant magnet to the world, drawing them to Christ. They see relationship going on that they don't experience because they don't have the benefit of the Holy Spirit. They don't have the benefit of that connection, and they see us caring for each other, loving each other. Jesus is saying that's the wonderful witness to the world that I'm the real deal. And I want to do one other reason, share with you one other reason by way of a video, why unity and community is critical. Why us living in community is a critical factor. So let's watch this. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Let's review first. I'm out of order. Got to look at my notes more. God, this is from Ephesians and John. God is one, and so we are meant to be one. Two, relating in community is where you live a life worthy of your calling. Three, using our gifts to reach unity in the church is how we mature and experience the fullness of Christ. In other words, we find God through community. Four, Jesus wants us one like he's one with his Father. And our relationship with each other is what validates Jesus to the world. And then here's one other reason. Let's watch this. why do we need community? Yeah. Be self-controlled and alert your enemy. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Have you ever experienced getting devoured? I have. Wouldn't it be great to have a crowd of brothers and sisters behind you with big horns to rescue you? That's what it's about. We're put here and we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, but we were never meant to make it on our own outside of the community of brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think if you live outside of it for very long, you will get devoured. You're going to get devoured. So, back to where we're going. We are focusing on community, a year of community, finding God through community at Adventure Church. And so, what we're going to do this coming fall is we're going to focus on entering into community. And how we're going to do that is we're going to reorganize the church into community groups at Adventure. And those community groups are going to have three different categories. Come October 1st, those groups are going to launch for the fall session. And they are going to be a category of activity groups and growth groups and mission groups. And the activity groups category is, the goal of the activity groups is, I just want to connect with some fellow Christ followers while doing something I love. Okay, the goal of this is to fellowship and build friendship over a shared interest. There's no homework for you with this. You know, these groups will meet all different times of the week. It may be Saturday morning mountain biking group. Go on a mountain bike ride to one of the nearest cool mountain bikes. That's your thing. Maybe it's a gourmet food group where you get together and you take turns sharing recipes at somebody's house each week. Bunko group, jam session groups, taekwondo group. The goal of this group is just to connect. Okay? Then we're going to have another kind of group called growth groups. And growth groups, the mantra here is, I want to go deeper. I want to be challenged in my walk with God. I need to grow. I need to grow. And so the goal of this kind of group is fellowship and building friendships over a study of some kind. It'll probably be at somebody's house. It's probably going to be an evening every week. It's probably going to involve food and very well may involve childcare available, might not, depending on the group. The possibility of homework is high, which might be the very best part of this group because the person who joins this group or starts this group says, I want to go deeper. So this is the kind of group that's going to do something like a study on walking with God and learning to hear God's voice, or a study on Financial Peace University, or maybe a study on Wild at Heart, or Captivating, or one of my favorite ideas is Sunday Morning Message Application. So, and we're actually thinking about posting Sunday Morning Message Application questions for groups that want to get together during the week. It'll be on the website. You can download the questions. What we talked about that Sunday, there's a study ready to go for your group members to download, think about, and then get together. And over dinner, over hanging out, over coffee, you talk about the questions. And then the next kind of group is called mission groups. And these are the folks that are at a place in their journey where they're saying, I want to change my world. I want to step out. I want to get up, get out, enough learning, I want to change the world. The goal of this group is to build a fellowship that will go on some kind of mission together. So these guys are, they're maybe going to be doing something like, and it'll be at somebody's house probably, and it'll probably involve food, and it'll probably have some kind of childcare option. But these guys are going to be saying, okay, we're going to go find out who the shut-ins are in Duval. And we're going to be planning that twice a month. We meet every week, but twice a month, we get together and we go to these shut-ins' houses and we go take care of their lawn, their needs for them. Maybe it's Union Gospel Mission Group. we're going to go down, or we're going to spend time together. We're going to be praying and getting together every Wednesday night from, you know, 7 to 9, 7 to 10. But then on Thursdays, twice a month or once a month, we're going to go to the prison. Something like that. So we're on a mission. We're going to go to the Philippines, our group. And so we're going to meet, and our whole time is going to be praying and planning a mission trip to go bring medical supplies to the Philippines. The possibilities are endless. And so three different categories. Why three categories? Because every one of you is unique, and every one of you is in a unique place in your journey. Somebody, you might be coming here, this is your first time to a church, and you're going, I don't want to go deep and sit around and talk about my financial issues or my marriage, but I'd love to go mountain biking or rock climbing with some friends and get to know some Christ followers, and every Saturday we go out and do something fun. Okay? Or you may have been in 16 groups that talked about your marriage, and you may have been in 3 mission groups last year that did different things, and you're saying, I want to go mountain biking because I just need a break from that. So that's why we have activity groups. And some of you are going to be a place that go, you know, I'm really ready to go deeper. I want to look at the wounds that I've taken. I want to look at healing. I want to invite the Lord into that. That's where our growth groups are going to be going on. And then, again, some of you are in a place where none of that sounds good. You want to get out and you want to change the world. You're ready to rock and roll. So we want to have the opportunity for all three categories. And you may go to, the way it's going to run is, it's going to run like college courses on a college quarter system. So there's going to be a fall, winter, spring, summer quarter. Small group sessions are going to go 6 to 10 weeks max. Okay? So say you're in a Philippines group. You're going to go to the Philippines, and your plan is to go to the Philippines next summer, but you want to start your Philippines mission group this fall. That means that Philippines mission group, at the end of 10 weeks, shuts down and reopens in the winter quarter, takes a two-week break, reopens, and allows new people to come in potentially, but it re-ups every quarter. And that's to avoid burnout. And also to give people a chance. You may do a mountain biking group this fall and say, all right, I'm ready to learn about hearing God's voice. In the winter quarter, I'm going into a growth group. Make sense? So they're constantly rotating, so we're avoiding leader burnout and your burnout. Now you may go, our group's tight. There's no way we're shutting down. Awesome. Just make it look like you did. And then be open to new people coming. Another part of the vision of this is a wonderful way for you to invite people who don't normally go to church to come hang out. Maybe it's an activity group, even a growth group. Frankly, Irwin McManus, the guy who started the Mosaic churches down in California, he said, our most effective outreach tool is mission trips to Mexico. People in the community want to go on a mission trip to Mexico with us. So we have people who come who haven't made a commitment to Jesus Christ, who are sharing how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ with children in Mexico. It's just brilliant. I'm like, awesome. Then they get to find out they can have a personal relationship with Christ, and people come to follow Jesus. And so, okay, so a couple of parameters here. Anyone can lead a group, provided they're willing to say, I will uphold the vision of Adventure Church, which our church is to heal the brokenhearted, walk with God, healing community, those core values. I am willing to uphold the vision of Adventure Church and uphold the doctrinal statement or the doctrinal beliefs of Orthodox Christianity, which is on our website. You know, so basically no satanic covens, all right? Weird things. You know, we're not going to worship trees. It's about Jesus. It's about the doctrines of Christianity is what we believe. And so you got to agree to that. And that's listed on our Adventure website. If you have an idea for a group, you may have already had one since I've been talking. Some of you did. If you have an idea for a group, All you do is go on our website. Registration is going to open August 7th. A registration page on our community connection on our website. You go on there, register your group idea, register the leader, your plan. I suggest you find a co-leader couple or a co-leader person to do it with you. And you register. There's a bunch of information to put in there. We get that. You will be assigned a coach. And then your group will go on our fall launch session group list on our website. And then we're going to open up registration for that at the beginning of September. So people, all the people in our church and people in our community can say, I want to join that group. And they click on it, and then all the information gets transferred, and your group kicks off October, first week of October. So that's how it's going to work logistically. That's being built right now, but actually all the website work is almost done. you may say, well, what if I want to start a group and nobody joins my group? You want to know the answer to that? Number one, don't take it personally like it's you, unless it is. Two, try recruiting. Three, bag it and join a different group. So those are some of the things we're going to be talking through with people who decide they want to start a group. So, and some of you may say right now, really? Wow, I don't know. I don't do well with people, Randy. It hasn't gone well. So we're going to be starting a series mid-August through September on why hasn't gone well. And part of the reason is them. People can be a pain. They got issues, right? Part of the reason is there's an enemy to community, and we have to learn to deal with him. And then part of the reason could be you. You might have issues. And so we need to look at, how do I find out what's... Maybe I have some issues that I need to look at. So we're going to be talking about how do people experience you? And how do you move toward relational maturity in terms of how you love and relate to others? Okay, so that's what's going on with... where adventure is going in the next year. And I would love to open up for questions, but I don't have time because I have a couple other things to talk about here. Another big piece of our vision is we need to make room for more. Would you just look around? There's not a lot of space, right? The balcony's full. It's full down here. And we have most of the youth groups gone. And they add another 50 kids. There's 50 of them in high school group on Sunday morning here, first hour. So they're sitting all everywhere. Second hour it's about the same. And so there's not a lot of space. We're maxed out. And when I was on sabbatical the last 6 weeks, I went to all these different churches. And what I got to tell you is, when you go to a new church, it's scary. I'm a pastor, right? I mean, I'm supposed to be like, I went to go to church 101 in college. You know, it's like I walk up to these churches and I'm like, what's going to happen to me? Are they going to do religious chanting? Is there going to be weird people up front? Is there going to be robes? Are they going to make me stand or sit when I'm not supposed to? And I've had the feedback we've gotten from people, because we've done some follow-up with new people that have come to Adventure, and we said, hey, what's your experience here? Positives. We've got lots of positives. Some of the constructive feedback is, that little space over there is super congested. Getting through feels like running a gauntlet. It's claustrophobic in here. There's no place to park. And getting our kids in, it's really difficult. That's facilities, largely, but it's also... but we can do a lot of things to help it. So what we want to do at Adventure look at ways we can help. And so one of the things we're going to do, first step, is we're going to be trying 3 services in the fall. Not locked down on the times, but we want to add another service, probably a later service, like an 11:45. So something like 9, 10:30, and 11:45 might be our times. We found that in this community, that might be a better option than an 8 a.m. And also, we want to revamp the bulletin and make it more newcomer-friendly. Some of the churches that I went to, scared, you know, walking in, handled my fear really well. They had thought of things that helped me feel less fear. One of the things we implemented today, I'd like to see us do more, is when Jeff Hansen was up here doing announcements, his name was up there and who he was. It's so helpful to somebody who's new to go, oh, that's this I can connect now what that person's role is. It's just helpful. It's just kind to offer some of those things. So we want to do some of that, work at that. And then some of the other things we want to do is we want to revamp our bulletin so it's more user-friendly for people who are new. And also we want to recruit all of you, even if this is your first time, to be on the welcome team. Okay? So that not the people are getting a barrage of, you know, 60 people welcoming them, which would be like way creepy. But, you know, with this a blank smile, it'd be really great. But you know, just if there's somebody you don't know, go say hello to them. Get to know them. Take them out to Xtapa after or something, you know. Just get a chance to connect. And we would love to see some parking lot help. The parking lot's ridiculous. Another thing we can do to really help is if you call Adventure Home, don't park here. Park somewhere on the street. Park blocks away. Walk in the rain. Sacrifice for Jesus. Let new people have a decent spot, you know, because what happens is if a new person's driving up, they're going to look at the parking lot and they're going to go, let's see if we can find another church that has a space. Does that make sense? You would, I would, Debbie and I did. We're like, we're driving up to these churches and it was like, oh no, there's no parking. You know, it's just these feelings you get. And so we don't think of it when we're in a church and part of a church because we're in it. And we don't realize, go visit a new church once in a while and see what it feels like. It's freaky. So anyway, all right, enough of that. The other thing that we're going to do is we are looking at a piece of land. Property. Adventure's been, the leadership team's been praying every couple of months. We've been in like these prayer sessions where we're like, Lord, what do you want us to do? We've spent, mostly Ezra, hundreds of hours researching commercial properties. Everything's 800,000 to a million just for the dirt to get a place in anywhere around here big enough to build on. There's no other sites that Adventure can move to have more space. And so we've been praying. And every time we pray and get to the end of our listening to the Lord time, all of us feel this sense of the Lord saying, I'm going to make it obvious. Yes, you are. It's time to do something about it. It's time to think about building something. And I know we love our church. We love the building. It's not about the building, though. It's about the people. And more people being able to hear about walking with God. So every time we prayed about it, we kind of hear this, not yet, but it's going to be obvious. 3 weeks ago, Lord of Life Lutheran decided to close their doors. They have 8 acres of property at the corner of Batten and Big Rock Road. Okay? Fireworks stand that Adventure Youth ran lived right there. It's been going for 6 years. These guys have already done a ton of work with King County. This is City of Duval, or I think this is City of... No, this is City of Duval, and this is an unincorporated King County. So that means somebody who builds a church here does not need to meet all the City of Duval fascia requirements that are, frankly, very difficult to do because they want it to look like some old German city thing. But in that location, you could build any church that you wanted to. One that fit Adventure's vision theme that had maybe 400 seats and a place for children to go that would be open and safe. And so they're selling it for $200,000. Okay? And they wanted us to buy it, but I was on sabbatical and the lead team was like, we're not going to even entertain anything before Randy gets back. Which was stupid, but really kind. And so we we ended up, as soon as I got back, we looked at it, we went there, we walked the property as a lead team, we prayed, and we all got back together, and the overwhelming sense was, isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious? What you also need to know is that fireworks stand for 6 years has cleared $16,000 in 1 week selling fireworks. The mortgage on the $200,000 is about $900 a month. If you do the math, the math tells us that's a actual net $500 a month to the church. Plus, what do you think? You like it? So we feel like God's saying, yes, we should. We tied up the property. It's in feasibility. We've got 30 to 45 days to find out if it's doable. Can it handle a septic? Can it handle the water? Is it really feasible for what we want? We know King County said yes to what the Lord of Life Lutheran had, a 200-seat auditorium, which we're at about 150 here. We'd really like to see something a little bigger if we're going to spend money. And so we're in the feasibility stage of it. So in other words, we're still safe. Our ask to you, Adventure Church, would you go out there and walk that property and pray and listen? Ask God, is this what we're supposed to do? Email me. Let me know. Our team has listened. We feel like the strong sense is yes, but we want to invite you into that. We want you to understand that this is your decision. Enough on that. I want to address an email I sent out about layoffs. If you aren't on our email list, like Jeff Hansen mentioned early on, make sure you fill out a card at the end, put it in the bulletin or in the basket in the back with your email address. We'll get you on the What's Going On at Adventure Church email so you can kind of hear things that are going on. I sent an email about the fact that by the end of July, we need to do some layoffs at Adventure. And the reason why is simply because our monthly income does not support the staff we currently have. And you may go, why? Why could that be? How could we do that? It comes down to last September, we were planning Christmas Dessert Theater, which is a huge outreach for Christmas, and we had 600 people come through here. It was awesome. We had Love and War, postcards went out, had a ton of people in here doing the Love and War marriage thing, and we had Church in a Bar starting. And we were anticipating about a 15% growth in numbers of people and needing the additional staff to handle that. And therefore, we needed $36,000 a month was the budget we needed to cover to get those, to keep those additional two adult staff members and a couple interns on. So we added heavily. We actually overstaffed for a anticipated increase, which we got. By the end of the year, those first 5 months, we actually exceeded $36,000 a month, and it went well. Since January, giving has settled back to right about $32,500, which handles about half of the increases of those staff. We always keep an emergency buffer. We're not in the red. In fact, in the last 10 months, Adventure has brought in more in terms of giving than we have in any 10-month stretch of our existence. Okay, so nothing's bad, but our emergency fund that is generally we keep at $20,000 to $30,000 in case, you know, we are flooded out and then we miss a couple Sundays, that's, you know, then they can pay salaries. Well, we've knitted away at that emergency fund now $2,000 to $3,000 a month, which is half the staff we added in September. We want to live with fiscal responsibility. We want to live within our means. And so we've looked at it and we've said, you know what? We're a 350-person church and we have a staff of about a 500-person church. And so it's okay for us to go, we stepped out, we took some risk, we need to pull back. Healthy organizations do that all the time. Church Growth Fund, who's a part of our conference, has a deal called the Church Growth Fund, and they are also a collective research group. They said that actually giving in the Puget Sound in evangelical churches is down 15% this year from last year so far. So there's an across-the-board pullback. For Adventure Church, it's about 9% in this year from last year. And so all that to say, we want to live within our means. And so by the end of July, so we don't go in the red, we're going to be laying off a few staff members. We're going to be praying about that. We will let you know who and the details of it via email. If you want to know that information, fill out a card, put it in the email deal, we'll send it to you through that update that we do via email. So you might be asking, how in the world could we be laying off staff and considering buying land at the same time? It doesn't make any sense, right? Agree? Answer is, it's two different pots. We have a monthly outgoing income that's constantly rotating, and it's just like the monthly expenses of a business. And then we have capital expenditures, which are very different. So for instance, you guys raised $15,000 in a month and revamped this, carpeted this room, and redid the technology in here a few years back in a month. You raised $20,000 and did the roof. You raised another $15,000 one year and did the kitchen and the roof of the back building. And 50 of us, when we started the church 7 years ago, raised $40,000 in a month to buy the building. And so buying land fits in that category, and the monthly expenses fits in a monthly expense category. And so also the fact is, the land kind of pays for itself. At least it has for the last 6 years. And so that's how we can be doing it. Do we think that that's absolutely responsible? I don't know. You pray about it. We'd love to hear feedback from you. Go pray on the land and listen to the Lord for us and with us. But we're not, laying off to us isn't like a, oh my goodness, we're in trouble. It's a, we're regrouping to move the kingdom forward. And so we're not backing one step. Okay? So at this point, I'd like to just invite Ezra and Heather to come up. And guys, Ezra and Heather have been with us since the first year of Adventure. And these guys, Ezra's had a construction business, started a ministry called Unbound, wrote a book. We've journeyed together over the years. Ezra's been on our lead team. And the construction, well, I'll let you explain. Do you want to hear? How about a blue mic and a red mic? And these guys are heading out. And so moving away. And so tell us about it.
Yeah. yeah, it's been a challenging season to own a construction company, just with the economy. A couple months ago, some really good friends of ours who live in Plain, Washington, which is just outside of Leavenworth, called us and told us that their neighbors were moving to Australia to take a job for 18 months and were looking for someone to house sit their house. And we kind of looked at each other and were like,
No.
Yeah. Wait, so remind me what happened.
Our friend told me, sort of as an offhand comment to a much bigger discussion we were having, and my first thought was, oh, crap, I can't tell Ezra he's going to want to go. Yeah. I just know it. And then my second thought was, oh, like, Lord, this is what you're doing. Like, I never would have guessed it would be something like this.
Yeah. I mean, the whole story of the journey of praying about it, hearing yes, asking others to pray about it, them hearing yes, them seeing pictures about just what this season in our life represents is like an hour and a half, and you would all just be roaring with laughter at the number of things where Heather and I were like, do you think it's a sign? You know, and it's like the big sign on the road that's like, go to plane. And we're like, do you think that's from God? Like, just over and over again. You probably have the same questions that we have, which are questions like, wait, you know, you have a ministry, like the book just came out, like isn't this when you like go and you know, really promote it and do all this stuff? And questions like, what are you going to do like when it's over, and how long are you going to be there, and you know, are you coming back? And the two things that we know for absolute certain, one is that we're supposed to go, and the other is that we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen afterwards. And I think we've been talking, you know, a little bit jokingly, but not 100% jokingly, that if we're there, we may be there for 12 months or 18 months, even that, we don't exactly know. But if we're there for 18, I think we're in a place where we feel like God will probably let us know where we're supposed to go next around like month 16 and a half or 17. And
we're good with that.
Yeah, I think not just good, but we're, you know, we have experienced in our own lives the mission statement of Adventure Church. We've had our hearts restored, and we've been invested in. We've experienced healing, and we're in a place where I think we're embracing the mystery of walking with God. I do not know the answer to those questions. I mean, my heart says, oh, I'd love to come back, because frankly, the most difficult part of this journey is we're going to miss all of you terribly. In fact, we don't know. I've been wondering, like, when's the motion going to hit with this in the midst of hecticness and, you know, excitement of a new adventure? And apparently maybe right now. Or I had thought maybe when we were on the pass in the U-Haul, you know.
I have a half-used napkin. Would you like
Thank
me?
You. But we don't know, but we know, what we do know is that God loves us, and He has an amazing plan for our lives, and we could never have ordered our steps to be moving basically to care for a vacation rental house on 7 acres on the Wenatchee River, where the people said, you know, we don't really want to pack up, so we're going to leave the four-wheelers and the boat and the bikes and the ski gear and the tractor, and can you just take care of it and pay the electric bill? And we said, absolutely. So we love you, and we're going to miss you. And if you've been thinking, I want to make sure I grab one of Ezra's books next week, this might be that week. What do you want to add?
I think you did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah, we love you, and we're going to miss you so much.
Would you join me? We know where plane is.
Shoot.
And they have said, yeah, and they have told me to make sure we invite all of you to come and stay with them all the time. So let's pray for them, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Ezra and Heather and the impact on my life that they have made, Lord, the impact on our lives as they have spoken, led women's, led men's, Unbound, directed our church in so many ways. And Lord, thank you for the alliance that we have, and pray, Lord, for your blessing, your covering, your commissioning, Lord, your direction, Father. Lead them into mystery. Lord, we know you have great things for them. We know, Lord, that you have your hand on them and their ministry. And Lord, we pray that you would use them to set many people free in many ways, Lord. And Lord, so our hearts are with them. And Lord, pray for just great refreshment and joy in plane, and full use of those toys. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we've kept you long. Thank you so much for coming. And in the back, the way we take offering in Adventure Church is there's a basket in the back. And on your way out, if you brought something to give to the Lord in terms of offering, you can just slip that in the back. Also, don't forget your cards with your email address if you want to be on our What's Coming Up at Adventure email list. All right, have a great rest of your day.